Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Holy Tuesday, March 31st, 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Timothy Apple from Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. Good morning, Pastor Apple.
Good morning, Andy.
It's good to have you with us this morning and looking forward to our study. Tell us about Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas.
Well, we're a congregation of about 150 worshipers each week here in Smithville, a town just under 4,000 right in the heart of Central Texas. And the saints here at Grace are looking forward to our observance of Holy Week that we're in right now, especially as we approach Maundy, Thursday, and Good Friday, and then the joyous celebration on Easter. So we rejoice here in Smithville with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world at what our Lord has done for us in his death and his resurrection, especially this week.
Very good. Yes, it is a busy week for many pastors proclaiming the good news of Jesus, telling the whole passion of Jesus this week in the services and delivering his good gifts. Thank you very much for taking time to spend with us here on the air at Worldwide KFUO. Glad that you could make some time for this. We are studying Hebrews chapter 3 this morning, verses 1 through 19. What would you like for us to know about this letter to the Hebrews, particularly chapter 3 this morning?
Well, as we begin to look at chapter 3, so far in the book of Hebrews, you know, we've seen how the writer, who we're not sure who he is, but the writer to the Hebrews has been laying the case for why Jesus is supreme, why Jesus is better than angels, why he's better than Judaism especially, you know, that it's written to Hebrews, likely Jewish converts to Christianity who are perhaps considering going back to Judaism. And so the writer to the Hebrews is saying, no, don't do that. This is why you should remain faithful to Jesus. And that's what he's going to start doing, especially here in chapter 3, as he begins to exhort them to remain faithful. And so I think the key word here for chapter 3 is this idea of faithfulness. And first and foremost, the faithfulness of Jesus. The faithfulness that Jesus has shown to us in his death and his resurrection, and then how that in turn brings about our faithfulness to him. So I think that word faithfulness is going to be a key word for us here in Hebrews chapter 3.
Very good. Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19 is what we're studying today with Pastor Apple from Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. If you have a question or comment, you can send us an email today, kfuo@kfuo.org. Let's take a look at the text. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses also was faithful in all God's house. For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son, and we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope. Holy brothers. Well, it starts with therefore. So that, I believe, always refers back to something, doesn't it?
Right. He's referring back to what he's just been talking about in chapter 2 here. And he's talked about how since we are flesh and blood, Jesus also partook of those same things. So that he is like us in every respect, except that he was without sin. And because of this, then he's our merciful and our faithful high priest. And the writer to the Hebrews is going to keep developing those subjects, but he's starting to call us back to that right away here. This idea that Jesus is one of us. He is a man. He took on our flesh. And that makes him merciful towards us. And that makes him faithful towards us as our high priest.
So, holy brothers, you who share in a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession, who was faithful to him who appointed him, just as Moses was also faithful in all God's house.
Yeah, there's a lot here. Just that first address of these Hebrews as holy brothers, that they are holy. They've been made holy. They've been sanctified by the sanctifier, is how the writer puts it back in chapter 2. And of course that sanctifier is Jesus. So they are holy and they are brothers, a common term for fellow Christians. And especially as we've just learned that we're brothers of Jesus and therefore brothers of each other from Hebrews chapter 2. And I do think it's important that as the writer to the Hebrews starts to exhort his readers that he does call them brothers, right? He's doing this out of love for them, not chastising them, but loving them by pointing out what it is that he wants them to see about Jesus. And then it says, on top of all of those, not only are they holy brothers, but they're the ones who share in this heavenly calling, this holiness that they have, this being a member of the church is not by their own reason or strength. It's because God has called them, the heavenly calling. And so he reminds them, this is who you are. You are saints. You've been called by the one true God. And so he now says, consider Jesus. Fix your eyes upon him. Contemplate, remember, focus on what he has done. And he uses a couple of titles here for Jesus. One is one that perhaps surprises us a little bit. He calls Jesus the apostle, which isn't a way that we often refer to Jesus, but it certainly is a faithful and accurate way to refer to him. The word apostle simply means one who has been sent or one who has been commissioned. And so Jesus is the one who was sent by God to accomplish our salvation. Jesus tells the apostles before he sends them, he says, as the Father has sent me. And so in that sense, Jesus is our apostle, the one sent by God to us to be our Savior. And then he is our high priest, the one who has made the sacrifice of himself for the forgiveness of our sins. And he is the one that we confess. And why do we confess him? Because he was faithful, the writer says in verse 2. He was faithful to him who appointed him. He was faithful to God, just as Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And so what the writer now starts to do here in verse 2 is he's comparing Jesus and Moses. And he's not using Moses as a negative example. In fact, he's using Moses as a positive example. Moses would have been very highly regarded by these Hebrews to whom the writer was writing. And so he's putting Moses as a good example. Remember how faithful Moses was in Numbers chapter 12, verse 7, probably likely where the writer is pointing us here in verse 2. The Lord says that Moses is faithful in all my house. Miriam and Aaron, Moses' siblings, had spoken up against Moses, and the Lord rebukes them and reminds them that Moses is the faithful leader and that Moses is the one to whom the Lord speaks, and then Moses speaks to the people. And so Moses is set up as a good example of faithfulness in the house of Israel. And then the writer is going to take that and say, now how much greater of an example of faithfulness is Jesus?
For Jesus has been counted worthy of more glory than Moses, as much more glory as the builder of a house has more honor than the house itself. For every house is built by someone, but the builder of all things is God.
Yeah, so here he's going to say, well, now this is how Jesus is worthy of more glory than Moses. And it's as much more glory as the builder of the house has than the house. The house is, when we think about the houses that we live in, the buildings that we see, they're magnificent. Think about the skyscrapers that impress us in downtown cities. But if those buildings have that much glory, then how much more honor should we ascribe to the one who has built it? And that's what the writer's saying is the relationship between Jesus and Moses. Moses is has glory and honor for his faithfulness in all the house of Israel. But Moses still is in that house of Israel. He's a part of this house. And who is the one who has built the house? Well, the writer says that's Jesus. Jesus is the one who's built the house. We think back to 2 Samuel 7, where the Lord promises David that he's going to build David a house, and David's son then will build a house for the Lord, and how Jesus is the one who fulfills that prophecy, the son of David and yet the Lord of David, who's building this house, this temple for God. And so the writer to the Hebrews says, Moses is a member of that house, and Jesus is the one who has built that house and is over that house. And so if that's the case, then who has more honor? Who has more glory? We're not detracting from Moses' glory. We're just saying that Jesus has that much more glory and honor because he's the one who built the whole thing.
Hmm. And now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. Let me read that again. I chopped it up too much. Now Moses was faithful in all God's house as a servant to testify to the things that were to be spoken later. But Christ is faithful over God's house as a son. And we are his house if indeed we hold fast our confidence and our boasting in our hope.
Right. So now he's again keeping on the same line of thinking, saying Moses was faithful. But again, notice Moses was faithful in all of God's house. And how was he faithful? He was a servant. He was one who was testifying to the things that were to be spoken later. That allusion back to Numbers 12 there again, where God says that he speaks to Moses and Moses speaks to the people. And that's who Moses was, and that's a wonderful thing. Moses was faithful in doing that, and he is accorded glory and honor accordingly. But Christ, and notice that the writer here uses the term Christ before he's used Jesus, and now he's going to stick to the title Christ, his office, his dignity in that. Christ is faithful again over God's house, not in God's house, but over God's house. And not as a servant, but as a son or as the son even. And we think back to what the writer started his letter with back in chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, words that might be familiar to some of our listeners from some of the liturgies that we use in church. The writer says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God mm-hmm. spoke to our fathers by the prophets. That's verse 1, that's Moses. And then in verse 2, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the Son who is over God's house, and so he has the greater glory. And then at the end of this verse, then what the writer starts to do is now he's going to take what he's just talked about, that Jesus has the greater glory than Moses. He's going to start to apply it to his readers, and he says, oh, and by the way, we are that house. We are his house, if we indeed hold fast to our confidence and our boasting and our hope. Right? This hope there is the key, that this is what Christ has given us by his death and his resurrection. And so what do? We hold fast to that. It is our confidence. It is our boasting that all we have in Christ is something that we speak about as the best thing that we possibly could have.
Looking over this first part of Hebrews chapter 3 up through verse 6, anything else you'd like for us to learn from this text before we go to break, Pastor?
Yeah, I just think, again, to point out, and this is really the foundation, is that Christ has been faithful, and he has been faithful above and beyond even what Moses was faithful, and Moses was so faithful, and so we cling to that faithfulness of Christ, and to see that clinging to that faithfulness of Christ actually is true to the faithfulness that Moses showed, that Christ is the fulfillment of all that Moses did, and that by remaining faithful to him, we actually remain faithful to Moses.
God is faithful despite when we are not. Christ Jesus is faithful even when we are not. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. No, exactly. And we need to hold on to that, especially as we begin to move into the warnings and the exhortations here, that it is that faithfulness of Christ that keeps us in the Christian church, right? The explanation to the third article, that not only does the Holy Spirit call me by the gospel, but he also keeps me in this Christian church. And we do. We need to hold on to that faithfulness of Christ as the reason that we've been called into the church and we've become holy brothers in this heavenly calling. We have to hold on to that faithfulness of Christ, especially as we begin to look at the exhortations and the warnings, which we do need to hear.
Indeed. Very good. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying the daily New Testament reading, Hebrews chapter 3, today with Pastor Apple from Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. You can email KFUO at KFUO.org.
Hey, Craig D'Onofrio here. I wish you a blessed Holy Week. On Maundy Thursday, Pastor Mark Sell and I are going to have a wonderful presentation on the Lord's Supper, celebrating Maundy Thursday. On Good Friday, we have a Tenebrae service on Reformation Rush Hour. Of course, KFUO will be having a Traore service from noon to 3 Central. Holy Week on Reformation Rush Hour and worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
The world is the mission field of Worldwide KFUO. We bring the gospel of Christ to all nations. Worldwide KFUO reaches countries where missionaries on the ground can't go. Christ called us to proclaim the gospel to all nations, and that's what we do here every day at Worldwide KFUO. If our mission and worldwide outreach is important to you, would you please prayerfully consider supporting Worldwide KFUO at kfuo.org.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. We are studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Timothy Apple from Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. We're in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 1 through 19. Pastor, are we ready to go on to verse 7?
Yes, sir.
All right. Therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was provoked with that generation and said, they always go astray in their heart. They have not known my ways, as I swore in my wrath. They shall not enter my rest. Lots of therefores again.
Yes. Therefore. So because of all this, now think about what Psalm 95 says. And although we don't want to pass over those words at the beginning of verse 7, you know, notice that he quotes here from Psalm 95 written by David, but he says, as the Holy Spirit says, says something to us about what the Old Testament is and what the Old Testament is still the Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit that still speaks to us today, which is exactly what the writer is going to do here as he begins to quote from Psalm 95.
Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as in the rebellion on the day of testing in the wilderness, where your fathers put me to the test and saw my works for 40 years, spending that time wandering in the wilderness, and they thought, they just thought it a horrible time, but yet God was faithful through all of it, right?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was. And those, you know, that they saw my works for all 40 years, the manna that came faithfully. As God said, the way that he provided for them physically and spiritually over and over again, despite their grumbling, is just so amazing. His faithfulness, for sure. So here the writer is going to use this psalm, Psalm 95, and Psalm 95 is one that again many of our listeners are likely familiar with from the liturgy of Matins. In Matins, we sing the Venite, which is the first part of Psalm 95. Oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And the Venite that we sing actually stops right before the section that we get to in our text today. And maybe you can kind of see why. That's not the type of thing that we tend to sing in our liturgy. And yet it's important for us to hear. So the writer, you know, he starts here in Psalm 95, the latter half of verse 7, and he starts with that word today. Today, if you hear his voice, and we're going to see later as he how important that word today is for the writer to the Hebrews and for the people that he's writing to, that today is not just a 24-hour period, but it is the present. This opportunity right now, this time that God speaks to us, to give us his grace, to give us the faithfulness of his Son, and that's what's happening today. So he's going to say, now today, you're going to hear his voice. So today, assume you hear his voice. So looking back on what's happened to the Israelites, don't do what they did. Don't harden your hearts as in the rebellion, on the day of testing in the wilderness. You know, we can think of countless examples from those 40 years of wandering, how they grumbled about water, and still Moses struck the rock at God's command and water came forth, or how they grumbled about food. Over and over again, they're grumbling and putting God to the test, kind of saying, well, let's see if he comes through again. Is he really going to be faithful? Let's just try him out for a while and see if it works out for not. We see that attitude around today a little bit. Just try God out for a while. And the writer of the Hebrews says, no, don't do that. Don't harden your hearts. Listen to him. You know, going back to the opening part of the psalm, oh, come, let us worship him. Let us bow down. We're the sheep of his pasture, the people of his hand. don't harden your heart. Don't block out his voice, but listen. Don't put him to the test. Listen and worship and let his faithfulness call you, you know, and call you into faithfulness towards him.
Anything else up through verse 11 before we go on to 12?
No, I think you see how he continues to use Psalm 95 here, and he continues to not only say this is what they did, and this is how God responded, that his grace, you know, eventually was, the today was ended. Today didn't last forever. And so he swore in his wrath, they will not enter my rest. And so the writer's going to take that now and say, this then is how we should respond today.
Verse 12, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold our original confidence firm to the end. As it is said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses, and with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart leading you to fall away from the living God. Take care.
Yeah, take care. Watch out. See to it, he says. And notice again, he addresses them as brothers once again. That same word we heard back in verse 1. This exhortation is not coming from chastisement, but it's a loving, a fraternal heart. And so it says, take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you, you know, he's concerned for all of his readers, lest even one be lost. We think of Jesus going out and searching for that one lost sheep. So lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart. And this will come up again at the end of our text. This, you know, that unbelief is what makes the heart evil. That unbelief is that key sin, and that's the reason that they were not able to enter the rest. And so he says, watch out for this evil, unbelieving heart. And what does it do? It leads you to fall away, or a stronger word would be, and it's right there in the Greek, the apostasize from the living God. That watch out for this unbelief that would lead you to fall away from the living God, not a dead God, but a living God, one who keeps his promises and executes his threats. He is a living God. The writer will say later in chapter 10, it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so the writer here is bringing that up, but also reminding that this living God, right, is faithful. That is the part of his living that he wants them to hold on to, that this living God is faithful to them.
But exhort one another every day, as long as it is called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin.
Here we have that word today. You know, and again, exhort one another, encourage one another every day, as long as it is called today. And that word today is such a gospel word, that God comes to us today in the present. Right now, you think about how that word today gets used, especially like in Luke's gospel, the Christmas good news that the angels announced to the shepherds, that unto you is born this day, today, in the city of David. And then as we prepare for our Lord's passion, even this week, think about the words that Jesus spoke to the thief on the cross, that the thief said, you know, Lord, remember me whenever you come into your kingdom, Lord, remember me. And what does Jesus say to him? He says, truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. And so the writer of Hebrews keys on this gospel word today, that as long as it is called today, as long as God is speaking to you, listen, worship him, rejoice to be one of the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand, as Psalm 95 says, so that you would not be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. And here's, as we think about the situation that the writer is addressing, you know, that these these Hebrews potentially are thinking about leaving Christianity and going back to Judaism. And he says that's deceitful. You know, you think you may escape some of the persecution. He's going to bring that up later in chapter 12. You think you may escape some of the persecution by forsaking Christianity, but that's deceitfulness. That's the deceitfulness of sin coming and trying to draw you away from Christ. And so the writer says, no, stay faithful. Look at Christ's faithfulness for you as long as it is called today. And today is when God does come and speak to you right now. You go into verse 14. So because we have come to share in Christ, you know, he takes us back again to that verse 1 where he talked about being brothers, and he talked about being sharers, partakers of this heavenly calling. And yes, we have come to share in Christ. Think of the imagery that we have for baptism, being baptized into Christ. John 15, that Christ is the vine, we are the branches in, and we share in that. And so again, then he says, you know, if indeed we hold that original confidence firm to the end, that the faith that God gave us at the very beginning of faith, that confidence, hold it firm to the end. See, you know, give us a blessed end. We learn to pray in the seventh petition. And this idea again, you know, from the third article that the Holy Spirit keeps us in the one true faith, that original confidence, God takes it through to the end. And so the writer here says, hold firm to that. Hold on to that faithfulness that God is showing you today.
As it is said today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion.
Right. So he goes, now he's going to take us back to Psalm 95, to that verse that he's already quoted. And he's going to make some more points now as he's closing out this chapter by these rhetorical questions. And these rhetorical questions, as we're going to go through them now, you know, they're going to kind of leave us maybe hanging a little bit, but it gets resolved tomorrow when you look at chapter 4. So we'll look at those rhetorical questions.
For who were those who heard and yet rebelled? Was it not all those who left Egypt led by Moses? And with whom was he provoked for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who were disobedient? So we see that they were unable to enter because of unbelief. Lots of rhetorical questions, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah. And so what the writer's now, he's going back to Psalm 95. He's going to keep going on Psalm 95 here for a little bit into chapter 4, too. But he goes back to Psalm 95, and he says, "Now think about those people that David is talking about. You know, who was that in verse 16? Who was that rebelled? It was, and the answer to the question he asks, he's expecting a yes answer after this. So wasn't it those who left Egypt by Moses? And it was. So the writer's saying, you know, think about them. They heard all that God spoke to them through Moses, and yet they rebelled. You know, these very people that had come to faith, that had been brought out of Egypt, they saw the mighty wonders of the plagues and the crossing of the Red Sea and all that God done in the wilderness. They were the ones that rebelled, which ought to give the readers of Hebrews pause, and it ought to give us pause still today. Consider all the wonders that God has done, that he continues to do for us. How he continues to speak to us in his word, you know, and yet the writer says those were the ones that we're talking about. We're not talking about the people who were pagan and unbelievers that rebelled. We're talking about people who had come to faith, and yet they rebelled. So take care, watch out. You know, all those warning words that we've heard before. Watch out. That's who it was that rebelled. You know, think of the parable of the sower and how there's some seed that does spring up in shallow soil, but it quickly withers. Or the seed that springs up among the weeds and yet is choked. Now the writer says, watch out for that. Watch out for that. Keep listening to his voice today. That's the constant call here.
How do we listen to his voice? How do we hear God's voice? How do we not end up with those hardened hearts?
Well, and here's where we look for the, you know, we again keep our focus back on that faithfulness of God and the mercy that God desires to show us. I mean, I think actually the last time I was with you, we were on Romans 9, and Paul's talking there about this, you know, the hardening and why some and not others and some of those questions. And Paul there points us to focus on God's mercy, that God is always acting in mercy. And he's always desiring to show mercy. And I think the writer to the Hebrews wants us to do the same thing here, is focus on God's faithfulness, that God does speak to us in his mercy, in his faithfulness. And so, you know, what's the response from us today? I mean, simple, but go to church. Listen to God's word. When there's an opportunity to hear it proclaimed, listen and take heart and believe it, and listen especially for that faithfulness that God has for you. This week especially is one of those weeks where there's so many opportunities to hear God's word. And I know you mentioned earlier how pastors are busy often during this week, and that is true, getting ready for the services, but our hearers, the members of our congregations, are just as busy. They're busy every week, and the world often doesn't respect Holy Week. And yet the call from the church is come and listen, come and hear what Christ has done for you, because truly there is no more important thing. And it is today. Today is that day, and God is speaking to you through his word. He's coming to you with his body and his blood and the supper. And so... do not harden your hearts, but listen. Don't fall into unbelief. Don't fall for the deceitfulness of sin. I think that deceitfulness that sin has is something we ought to think about, right? That sin, you know, it seems good, and you know, it's like, well, I've heard all that pastors said. I've heard those stories countless times. I know that Jesus died. I know that he rose. I don't need to listen to that again. And the writer Hebrews says, no, don't listen to that deceit. Listen to God. He's speaking to you today, and it's full of good news for you.
Indeed, amen. Looking over the text today as a whole, Pastor, anything else you'd like for us to learn as we wrap up our study together this morning?
Again, just to hold on to the faithfulness of Christ, that he has shown us as the one sent by God to make the perfect sacrifice for our sins, and to hold on to the faithfulness that he showed with our own, even if it is faltering faithfulness, listening to the word of God today as it comes to us, and rejoicing in all that he has done.
Amen. We've been studying the daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Timothy Apple from Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. Thank you so much, Pastor Apple, for being our guest and helping us study Hebrews chapter 3 today.
Good to be with you.
God bless you and all the saints there at Grace Lutheran Church in Smithville, Texas. Coming up in just a little bit, we've got some sacred music to help sanctify your morning. Stick around for more of his time right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.